booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Morning News. You remember the song from the Poseidon Adventure. There will be a morning after. It is the morning after the New York City primary for mayor, the day that many people said was going to be determinative of deciding who was the next mayor of New York City. If you went to bed last night and you did not know who the Democratic nominee for mayor is, and you woke up this morning in the hopes of trying to find out who the Democratic nominee for mayor is, don't worry. You can feel free to go back to sleep because we have no idea who the Democratic nominee for mayor is going to be. We do, however, know who the Republican nominee for mayor is. Curtis Sliwa, our former colleague here at WABC, winning a landslide. Over 69% of the vote in the mayoral contest on the Republican end. And we're going to play you some exclusive audio from his victory last night. Sid Rosenberg has got sports. Christian Arnold is at the controls. Joe Nolan is here. He's got traffic. Deb Valentine's here with news. And I'll bring you all the latest business news that's fit to listen to. Mike Zimbluskis is going to be here as well. Distinguished political analyst Vinny Ignizio, former New York City Council minority leader, is here as well. What's your impression of the mayor's race at this point? It looks like it's Curtis, in all likelihood, versus Eric Adams.
Yeah, I think Eric Adams has a sizable lead, and I don't think that we're going to see that alter too much. I think the real shock that occurred yesterday was the comptroller race. I think Brad Lander has a sizable lead over Corey Johnson. That was not expected. And then the undetermined races of the borough presidential races, both in Manhattan and the Staten Island, as well as the district attorney's race in Manhattan. So there's some, you know, there's going to be several weeks before we know who actually wins these races. I predict it's somewhere around mid-July before we know who's going to be the candidates going to face each other in November.
You think that's the case even in the Staten Island Borough President's race?
Yeah, it's going to take weeks. I mean, they have till the end of the month to get the absentee ballots in, and then they got to start with the ranked choice. So it's going to be a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, in just a minute, we're going to play you the audio of Curtis's discussion last night, his speech last night, after it was clear who the nominee was, and we'll have some analysis throughout the course of the next 90 minutes.
Well, I think that was a shock, too, right? Curtis's resounding victory was 72% of the vote. That was not seen as well. So it's
especially given the amount of time that Fernando Mateo spent on television and on radio, and the amount of money. I mean, he had $2 million in city taxpayer matching funds, which Curtis didn't have. It's really an incredible victory on the part of Curtis Sliwa. 5:07, we've got traffic and transit on the 7s every 10 minutes. Here's Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe.
And good morning there, Frank. Good morning, everybody. We're off to a pretty good start. We got a couple of accidents out there for you. First of all, northbound Jersey Turnpike, the outer roadway north of 14, an accident at the right lane out. And then also on Long Island, the westbound LIE at Little Neck Parkway, disabled in the right lane. Now on the Jersey Turnpike, also southbound the Eastern Spur, the overnight road work is there. And then also on Staten Island bound for Verrazano, that is shut down for the overnight as well, with the overnight maintenance is there every day. Mass Transit in pretty good shape at this point, and alternate side is in effect with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
One of the nice things about this week, I do miss having Juliet here, and Juliet Huddy's going to be here in about a half hour to give us an update on what she's doing travel-wise and give you some travel tips. But one of the things that I have enjoyed is in her absence, while she's not doing the weather, we have one of the greatest weathermen ever to do the weather in New York City broadcasting. All week long, we are being gifted with exclusive weather reports from the one and the only Lloyd Lindsay Young. Lloyd, how's the weather looking this morning?
Everything is the Hello, Port Lee. Hey, good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Let's get the weather together. It's going to be nice with a capital N. Really nice. Chilly this morning, though. But maximum temperatures this afternoon, happy to report, below normal. Right around 78 to 80 degrees. And by the way, the suburbs this morning are down there in the 50s, upper 50s to near 60 tonight. Low pressure system over the area. The cold front rumbled through yesterday with thunder bumpers, but no rain to worry about. The only thing is, as we look ahead towards the weekend, it's going to get pretty muggy in the tri-state area with that humidity way up there and temperatures in the upper 80s to near 90. But that's Saturday and Sunday. For now, let's shoot, hey, Manhattan, about 79 to 80 degrees tomorrow. How about the Long Island shore and the Jersey shore? Beautiful, 75 degrees in the breeze. Hey, this is Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. Obviously, the big news today is the Republican race for mayor is decided. We are going towards a matchup, Curtis Sliwa versus, in what appears to be, in all likelihood, Eric Adams. Here's a portion of Curtis Sliwa's remarks last night from the Empire Room where he had his victory party.
And last thing, lastly, I am not omnipotent and pretentious like a lot of the elected officials who are running for higher office. I have to undo what this part-time mayor, Bill de Blasio, has done to all of us, Democrats, independent, and Republicans. He has taken a wrecking ball to this city that we love.
He's
destroyed it. There is a program known as Thrive. $1.25 billion was taken from us, the taxpayers, with the thought that it would care for those who were in emotional need and had desperate mental health problems. We're going to find out where that money went, because it certainly didn't go to the people who needed it. And when it comes to the recovery of our economy, I am going to depend on men and women in the classification of John Katzmatidis, leaders in the financial field, leaders in the business community. And all I'm going to say to them, because they know far more about those issues than I do, and they will school me, and we will sit at the table, and I will say John and company, and even Rudy Giuliani, law and order and public safety, just tell me one thing. De Blasio is leaving us with a $5 billion debt. We have to do more with less. Show us how we can do it so we can save our city. We can resurrect our city. We can have safe subways, safe streets, safe parks, safe schools. And once again, we can return to the greatness and grandeur that New York City has always had. I swear on the graves of my mother Francesca and Chester, who raised me to say, do good things and good things will come in return. Don't ask where, why, or how, but be a good Samaritan. Help those in need. Be compassionate. And no, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's us and we. We're all in this together. Not I and me. Thank you for this great victory. And go back to the ways that we know to provide for a quality of life that is dissipated before us. Thank you for coming tonight.
Some other race at 5:13. This is the WABC Early News. That's Curtis Sliwa as part of his victory speech last night. Some other races that we're keeping an eye on. The Democratic race for mayor, Eric Adams, is leading. He is not yet the nominee. Currently, Mayor Wiley is polling second in terms of first choice votes. Now, with so many candidates in that race, there is ranked choice voting, and it remains to be seen who will ultimately emerge victorious. Catherine Garcia polling third. The Democratic race for controller, City Councilman Brad Lander, currently leading that race, but by no means guaranteed a victory. Jumaane Williams has been reelected as the New York City public advocate. There's no Republican in that race. So now that he's won the Democratic nomination, it appears all but a certainty that he'll be the nominee. Vinny, the controller's race, Brad Lander leading, is that a done deal for him at this point, or is there still a little bit of wiggle room?
He looks pretty far ahead, which was the surprise, I think, of the night. He's you know, coming in really strong. I don't think Corey Johnson can make up the lead that he's emerged there.
Very interesting. If people are just tuning in, Vinny Ignizio joining me in studio for the next 90 minutes, dependent upon a ride back to Staten Island. So we're the beneficiary of his wit and wisdom this morning. And at 5:15, it is always a treat to be able to talk sports, politics, or anything else with the one and only Sid Rosenberg. Sid, what's happening?
Good morning, Frank and Vin. Good morning to you. For the second straight night, the Mets put up a zero shutout for the Atlanta Braves. 3-0 the final last night. They lost game two, that doubleheader two nights ago, 1-0. Mets are still 6 games over .500, still lead the Braves and the Phillies by 4 games atop the NL East. But again, the Braves with consecutive shutouts. Here's Mets skipper Luis Rojas on last night's whitewash.
Well, we ran into really two good pitchers that had their stuff going well. Once again, I think we had the same thing last week, and we ran into it again this week.
Mets and Braves again tonight. The Yankees returned to action last night in the Bronx. Gerrit Cole, after 7, had a 3-2 lead. He's pitching to a 2.33 ERA, and then the Yankee bullpen blew it. 4 runs for Kansas City in the 8th, and despite hitting 3 home runs last night, the Bombers lost to the Royals 6-5. Here's Boone, the Yankee skipper, on Gerrit Cole.
I thought Cole was good, man. Finished really strong, too. I thought he pitched the way he wanted to there, especially in that last inning where he walked a couple guys. I think he just wasn't going to get beat with certain pitches in that spot. You know, 7 really strong innings for us.
The Yanks are still in third place. They are 5.5 behind Boston. The Rays have lost 7 straight. So the Yankees, trying to make up some room inside the American League East, will host Kansas City once again tonight. Game 6, Islanders at the Barn tonight. Fresh off their 8-0 loss to Tampa Bay. That series has the Lightning ahead of the Islanders 3-2. The reigning Stanley Cup champion Lightning can win that series tonight. Well, the Islanders hopefully can force a Game 7 in Tampa coming up on Friday. NBA Western Conference Finals last night. The Suns eked out a win over the Clippers, 104-103. That series is now 2-0 Phoenix. The Eastern Conference Finals begins tonight in Milwaukee with the Bucks hosting the Hawks. Sports at 15 and 45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Thank you, Sid. We'll hear more from Sid in about a half hour. Meantime, at 5:17, if you're making your way to work, gentleman has the answers as to how best to navigate your route to work. Has traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. That's Joe Nolan. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
Well, good morning, Frank, again. And we are starting with problems on the Jersey Turnpike northbound, the outer roadway north of 14. An accident in the right lane. You want to get over to the left. If you're on the southbound Jersey Turnpike, the eastern spur, that's what shut down overnight tonight. Usually it's one of the inner or outer roadways, but tonight it's the eastern spur. Westbound Long Island Expressway, the Lunenburg Parkway, a disabled there in the right lane. Then Staten Island bound Verrazano, the lower level is closed. Overnight road work. Mass transit in pretty good shape. Alternate side is in effect. This report a service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Hey, coming up in just a minute, I'll tell you what's happening in the world of business. What did Wall Street do yesterday? I'll tell you. We'll also get some analysis of what yesterday's victory for Curtis Sliwa will mean for the general election. This is the WABC Early News. We'll be right back.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock. I am Frank Morano, but Juliet Huddy is off this week. However, even though she's off, she's going to be calling in from Italy. In about 20 minutes, we'll find out where she is and what travel tips she has for you. The opening bell rings this morning after the NASDAQ closed out yesterday at a record high. as the market begins a new winning streak. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 68 points, the S&P 500 jumped 21 points, and the NASDAQ pointed to 111 points to a gain of 14,253. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell thinks the U.S. labor market should gradually improve over the coming months. Powell testified in a House hearing and stressed that hiring is up. He said that while that's been offset by what he called quits and retirements, close quote, Powell was asked if extended unemployment benefits are restraining job growth. He also argued inflation should be temporary. He cited supply bottlenecks as a key reason for the current inflation. Powell talked about used cars and trucks, calling the market a perfect storm of very strong demand and weak supply due to the reopening of the economy. Powell said that the Fed will not raise interest rates preemptively and will wait for actual evidence pointing to a need for a right hike. Now, this goes hand in hand to what we've been hearing from a lot of our listeners, which is the fact that inflation is a real problem for many of you, and let us know what your experience has been like. Vinny, what's your take? Vinny Ignizio, former minority leader of the city council, joining me in studio this morning. What's your take on the notion of inflation at this point?
Well, it's something that I believe the Democrats are really going to watch very closely because they're very concerned about losing their majority. And the easiest way to get people to alter their votes is to get them in their pockets. So everybody is seeing the price of lumber going up. Everybody is seeing the price of gasoline going up. Everybody is seeing the price of groceries going up. That hits them right in their pocket. If the Democrats can't arrest this inflation and it becomes a runaway issue, you're going to end up with the voters souring on the Democratic agenda and voting a Republican majority next November.
At least 1.2 million adults who identify as non-binary live in the United States. That's the term for people who don't exclusively identify as either male or female. A new study from the Williams Institute is one of the first to try and qualify this part of the LGBTQ population. While most non-binary people don't identify as transgender, about a third of transgender people identify as non-binary. While non-binary people have been documented for centuries, visibility has skyrocketed and grown in recent years. The survey found that more than three quarters of non-binary adults in the U.S. are 29 and younger. So we'll keep an eye on that. Now, we don't know who the Democratic nominee for mayor is, but we do know who it's not. Tech entrepreneur and one-time presidential candidate Andrew Yang has conceded defeat after he finished in fourth place in Tuesday's Democratic primary for mayor. He says even with ranked choice results still coming in, there's no way he can win. Yang told supporters last night that he's a numbers guy and that there's no way he can come back from fourth place to win the Democratic nomination for mayor. Yang led most polls in the race for mayor when he's announced that his candidacy is, you know, was happening back in January. But a primary day got closer, support fell off, and Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams is the current front runner. So we'll see where that goes. As of now, we don't know who the nominee is, but Eric Adams is leading, possibly by as much as 10 points. And it doesn't look like the nation will reach President Biden's COVID vaccination goal in time. He wants 70% of adults to have at least one shot by the 4th of July, but the White House thinks they'll just miss the mark. Right now, the CDC has the number at 65%. At least 15 states have already hit the goal, with another 29 closing in. But four states, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi and Wyoming, are all still under 40% when it comes to getting vaccinated. President Biden giving up on a voting rights bill. no plans, he plans to talk about it one more time next week. Democratic leaders are vowing to redouble their efforts after the GOP blocked legislation yesterday. Every Republican voted against even debating the issue, as expected. The Senate leaves Thursday for a long holiday break, returning on July 12th. That's when the focus will shift to the president's infrastructure and jobs package. And as we've been telling you, a former presidential candidate conceding in New York's race to become mayor, Andrew Yang, in a distant fourth place in the city's new ranked choice voting, and plans to support whoever wins. On the Republican side, former WABC talk show host Curtis Sliwa emerging as the overwhelming favorite of New York City Republican voters. Football fans appear to be rallying behind a Las Vegas Raider after he came out as gay. Carl Nassib's jersey is now the top-selling item for the online federal retailer Fanatics. In fact, several sizes have already been sold out. The defensive lineman shared his news in an Instagram video, saying he finally felt comfortable enough to do it. He also donated $100,000 to help prevent suicides among LGBTQ youths. And the NFL matched that and finally felt comfortable in making some issue advocacy on the issue of LGBTQ relations. Well, a Texas TikTok star is out with his first single. George Burge says he got the idea for the beer truck truck after watching a viral video from influencer Erin Chambers. She joked that men in country music only sing about beer, trucks, and girls in tight jeans. Burge put his own twist on the chorus in this new song. He then put a clip of it on TikTok and it went viral. He gave Chambers credit as a songwriter. Burge's new hit, Beer Beer Truck Truck, is also out on YouTube. Somebody that I always felt would make a fine country music star is the one and only Joe Nolan. He's certainly done traffic for enough music formats over the years. Joe, what about country music? Are you a fan?
I love country music. Love country music. And the funny thing is that I didn't until, I guess, about 5 years ago when I started doing the traffic with your old friend Kelly Ford. And that was just so much fun doing that. But the thing is that my wife said, you know, I'm listening to all these country songs, and they're all about alcohol and trucks. And she was absolutely right. Well, if you travel on the northbound side of the Jersey Turnpike on the outer roadway north of Interchange 14, an accident again. The right lane is out. Southbound eastern spur of the Turnpike shut down on the overnight. That for the road work. Now, the LIE, we still have this stall in the right lane at Little Neck Parkway. You're backed up to Lakeville Road now. Hopefully, that'll be out of the way shortly. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of UPS. Ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $20 per hour in an active job that you'll take pride in. Enjoy big-time growth opportunities with the team UPS. Search now and apply at upsjobs.com/Saddlebrook. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, 5:28, time to give you a preview of all the news that's fit to listen to at our WABC news desk. Here's the one and only Deb Valentine.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Hong Kong's pro-democracy Apple Daily newspaper will close. That'll happen no later than Saturday after police arrested five editors and executives and froze $2.3 million in assets linked to the paper. The Biden administration yesterday announced a huge push to get 18 to 26-year-olds vaccinated. Jeff Sense is the COVID-19 coordinator for the White House.
The reality is many younger Americans have felt like COVID-19 is not something that impacts them, and they've been less eager to get the shot.
This as the COVID-19 variant Delta is reported to be among 20% of all cases. Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough President, is a clear leader in the Democratic primary for mayor of New York City. Maya Wiley and Catherine Garcia are running neck and neck for a second. And Andrew Yang, trailing a distant fourth, conceded.
I will be very happy to work with them to help improve the lives of the 8.3 million people who live in our great city. And I would urge everyone here to do the same.
Guardian Angels founder Curtis Liwa cruised to a decisive victory over Fernando Mateo on the GOP side with over 70% of the vote. Sliwa last night pledging to undo what New York City Mayor de Blasio has done.
He has taken a wrecking ball to this city that we love. Destroyed it.
Evan Bragg was the early leader of the Democratic race for Manhattan DA. Tally Weinstein was close behind. Well, Connecticut has become the 19th state in the nation to legalize marijuana. Governor Ned Lamont signed that legislation into law yesterday. That's your 77-second news update and your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center calling for sunshine today, or high 77. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine. A traffic and transit report is next, where the news never stops, at WABCRadio.com.
Lydia Serrani, entertaining and informative.
Half of Americans are idiots because they only watch one news source. I encourage you to listen to us, to listen to as much news as you can. And that's my job here, is to make sure that all sides of the story are told. And what I mean by that is we're going to keep telling the same story, but we're going to give you all the facts. We're not going to give you some of the facts. We're going to give you everything.
The Rundown with Lydia Serrani, weekdays at 4 p.m. after Rudy Giuliani on 77 WABC. Music Radio 77 WABC presents Saturday Nights with Tony Orlando. Every Saturday at 10 p.m.
Hi, everybody. This is Tony Orlando.
Three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Big guests and great music from the 60s, 70s, and so much more. Saturday Nights were made for Music Radio 77 WABC and Tony Orlando. Every Saturday at 10 p.m., right after Cousin Brucey, on Music Radio 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:32, this is the WABC Early News. Juliet Huddy is in Italy. She'll join us from Italy in about 8 minutes. I'm Frank Morano, holding down the fort. The big story is the New York City mayor's race. Democratic nomination still undetermined, but the Republican nomination still very much determined. Curtis Sliwa, former WABC talk show host, winning big. And in the interest of full disclosure, I've been a big part of Curtis Sliwa's campaign. I'm joined in studio by a Republican political analyst, former New York City Council Minority Leader Vinny Ignizio, and joined on the phone by somebody who has also been a pivotal part of Curtis Sliwa's campaign, former candidate for multiple offices, former leader of the New York Independence Party, Mike Zimbluskis. Mike, in your view, what was the key to Curtis's overwhelming victory over Fernando Mateo yesterday?
I think it's that people know him. I think that his name recognition is so high, especially in parts of the city that have, traditionally voted Republican, that there is no way he was losing. I told the Manhattan Republicans and everybody else he was going to win this in a landslide, and he did. And the key to it is Staten Island, and makes up a huge chunk of the Republican primary vote. And there's no way that he was going to lose this thing.
So, Mike, the conventional wisdom has been that in the words of Mayor de Blasio, the Republican nomination is little more than a sideshow, and that whoever emerged as the Republican nominee had little chance of actually winning the mayoral election. Is that how you view it? Does Curtis actually have a chance of being competitive in the general election?
He has not just a chance of being competitive, he has a very good chance of winning this, even if it is Eric Adams. I've been out campaigning with him since, you know, February and on my own. And people, he's like a rock star. Everybody wants to take a picture with him. He wants to talk. Everybody wants to talk to him, Democrats and Republicans. And you have to remember about Curtis. He's been in every neighborhood in this city at the worst of times. He told me a story that happened about 3 or 4 years ago in Brooklyn. I can't remember whether it's Brownsville or another neighborhood, where this junior high school was this middle school. Kids were getting beat up every day after school or robbed. He sent the guardian angels, and they made a safe corridor for over 2 months. You don't think those parents are going to remember that? You don't think people? I had women and older men come up to me and says they remember the 70s and the 80s and how bad it was. And when they saw the guardian angels get on the subway, they could relax. Those people remember it. And de Blasio has destroyed this city. The Democrats in City Hall and in Albany have destroyed this city. People see the crime rates going up, and they understand what's going on. And they remember it was two Republican mayors. Well, the major Republican mayor, Mayor Giuliani, that turned this city around. A lot of the older people remember. We had over 2,000 murders a year. He got it down, and now murder rates are going up. You know, and where it's happening is in the non-traditional Republican areas. The minority areas are getting hit hardest by this crime. So there is no way that anybody that thinks this is not going to be a competitive race is fooling themselves.
Well, it's certainly going to be very interesting, and I have no doubt that we'll be checking in with you quite a bit from now until November. Vinny, anything former New York City Council Minority Leader Vinny Ignizio joining me in studio, anything that Mike said there that's inaccurate or that you would expand upon?
No, just that, listen, Curtis is now playing on his own playing field. He wants to be in the communities throughout this city, and he's happy to bring the message of, I'm the mayoral candidate that can make a difference. I'm an impact player, and what you received from the Democratic Party over the last several years with bail reform has caused the city to go in decline, and he's the guy that can turn it around. That's going to be his message. He now has to speak to a broader audience. He needs to go in every community and say, I can make your life better. He's done it, and he'll show you how he can do it. That's his job, whether he can do it or not. Let's see.
5:37, we do traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. Joe, you did the traffic for Curtis Lewa for a long time. Is this the first mayoral nominee of a major city that you've ever done the traffic for?
Yes, absolutely. I was just thinking that. That's actually really cool. But, I did traffic with Curtis. I don't even know how long. Many, many, many years back in the day. With his ex-wife. Northbound on the Turnpike, the outer roadway north of Interchange 14. Earlier accident there, the right lane out. Also on the eastern spur, southbound, all lanes are closed on the overnight. That'll continue now. On the westbound side of Long Island Expressway, Little Neck Parkway, disabled in the right lane there. And then on the ramp to the LIE, there is an accident. Also delays Staten Island bound for us on a lower level. That for overnight road work. That should be out of the way pretty shortly, I would imagine. Mass Transit, everybody on or close to schedule at this point. An alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, we will have the Jet Set Juliet travel report in mere minutes with the original, the one and only Juliet Huddy. This is the WABC Early News. We'll be right back.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:40. This is the WABC Early News. The stock market had sort of a mixed day yesterday. The S&P 500 was up 21 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 68 points. And the NASDAQ gained 111 points. So I suppose the day was not all that mixed if all three indexes were up significantly. So it was an up day on Wall Street yesterday. We'll see what today brings. Now, new home sales for May come out this morning, and they're expected to fall again. Housing industry analysts forecast a 2.1% decline to an annualized rate of 850,000. That would fall that would follow a 5.9% drop in April. Those numbers are out at 10 a.m. this morning. And Frontier Airlines is adding a COVID recovery surcharge to the final bill for passengers. The airline says on its website that the fee is intended to offset increased sanitation and cleaning costs, shields at the ticket counters and gate areas, and PPE for employees. ABC News, no relation to WABC, reports the $1.59 charge is applied to bookings on a per passenger, per segment basis. Now, speaking of travel, we have been without her all week long, and it is my great pleasure to welcome back my partner and co-anchor, someone who's taking time out of her vacation to bring you the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report. That is how dead set she is about informing you about travel. My friend, Juliet Huddy. Juliet, how are you? I miss you. What's going on?
Buongiorno, Frank. Oh, my God. It's amazing. We're in Venice right now. And you guys have heard me talk about Venice nonstop, I think, probably. But it is absolutely beautiful. The weather could not be more perfect. And we've had just an incredible time. We've been in, we started in Rome, then we went to Florence, and now we're here in Venice, and we finish up, we leave on Monday. But it's incredible. Wow. It's interesting, though.
What's been the highlight so far, Juliet?
I guess seeing our friends. I mean, just finally being able to see friends. I will say, besides that, we spent one of the first days in Rome out in the kind of Roman countryside with friends that we made a few years back. They invited us to their house to be with their family for this big lunch, you know, a typical Roman lunch. So we had that, and that was incredible. And we ended up spending the entire day and night with them and with their kids. And John played soccer with the kids. And it was wonderful. That was incredible. We also found a heavy metal bar in Florence, which of course was wonderful for both John and me because we love rock music. And we became great friends with some of the people there, and now we're seeing our friends here. So it's just, I mean, it's absolutely heaven.
Well, so what's next on your agenda, Juliet? So you've done Rome, you're in Venice now, you've done Florence. Where are you headed to next?
We just stay here. We're staying in Venice until Monday because we have so many friends here. We just need to spend time with them. So we're spending some time with the locals. We're going to be going to one of our friends' homes outside of Venice for dinner one night, and you know, just kind of tooling around and relaxing a little bit. It's been sort of a whirlwind. It's been a little crazy. I do have to say though, there are relatively few tourists anywhere in Italy. You're hard pressed to find tourists. It's pretty insane.
Does that make this a good time if you're an American to visit, or a bad time?
I would say it's a good time because you're not on top of people. I mean, typically in Venice, for instance, you can't cross a bridge without bumping into 50 people, you know, who are standing there taking pictures. I mean, the streets were essentially empty by 8 o'clock last night. You know, the places are still open, so it's not like it's boring. It's just, it's, you feel like you're actually really seeing the real Venice, which is really nice.
Oh, wow. So, Venice, have you done the gondola ride yet?
We already did that. We did that many years ago. It's a nice thing to do once, but it's kind of expensive. And it's only like 15 or 20 minutes. So unless you know a local who can hook you up, I would suggest doing the gondola ride once and then just walking the rest of the time.
Well, and what about the food, Juliet?
Well, the food is fantastic. I mean, you know, it's, you have all the different types of food depending on the region that you're in. But we do the pasta, we do the pizza. It's wonderful. I'm going to be about 70 pounds heavier when I get back. So just prepare yourself. Get a chair extender.
Trust me, I'm prepared. We have a bariatric surgeon on standby for you, Juliet.
Oh, good.
All right. Thank you. I miss you. I look forward to seeing you soon. Hurry back.
I miss you guys. I'll be back Tuesday.
Wonderful. We'll look forward to that.
Love you guys.
Right after the 4th of July. The one and only Juliette Huddy. You can find her on social media at Jet Set Juliette. She's got all the links to her travels and all of her Jet Set Juliette travel reports. Somebody who I know is very much looking forward to her return, so he's not just saddled with me for 90 minutes a day, is the one and only Sid Rosenberg. Hello, Sid.
Hi, Frank. That's true. Although we got Vin here this morning. Vin's a handsome guy, smart guy. Works out well.
That he is.
Yes, he is. Dressed nicely. In fact, three nicely dressed guys in studio this morning. Not the case every day. The Mets can't seem to score a run. That's now two straight. They've been shut out by the Atlanta Braves. They were shut out 1-0 in the second game of the Twin Bill on Monday. And last night, once again, shut out by Atlanta. This time, 3-0. Here's Mets skipper Luis Rojas on the Braves pitching last night.
But we ran into really two good pitchers that had their stuff going well. Once again, I think we had the same thing last week. We ran into it again this week.
Mets are still 6 games over .500, still in first inside the NL East. 4 better than the Braves, 4 better than the Phillies. They'll play the Braves and Queens again later on tonight. Gerrit Cole started off the 8th inning a bit rough, handed over to the bullpen, and they blew it. 4 runs for Kansas City in the 8th, and the Royals beat the Yankees 6-5. This despite 3 home runs by the Yankees last night. Here is Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on Gerrit Cole's performance.
I thought Cole was good, man. Finished really strong, too. I thought he pitched the way he wanted to there, especially in that last inning where he walked a couple guys. I think he just wasn't going to get beat with certain pitches in that spot. You know, 7 really strong innings for us.
Yes, it was, but still not good enough. The Yankees find themselves 4 games over .500, 5.5 behind Boston. The Rays, they did lose their 7th in a row. The Islanders looking to stave off elimination tonight on the island, Game 6. Fresh off an 8-0 blowout loss in Tampa to the Lightning. The Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning looking to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Again, that series 3-2 Tampa Bay. The Islanders can force a Game 7 on the road with a win at the Coliseum later on tonight. NBA Western Conference Finals. The Suns eke past the Clippers 104-103. That series is now 2-0 Phoenix. In the East, they start tonight in Milwaukee where the Hawks will take on the Bucks. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports again at the 15 and the 45, I'm Sid.
We'll hear more from Sid next hour at 6:15. But first, here's all the latest traffic and transit news that you need to know at 6:47. How's it going, Joe?
Well, a couple of problems now on Long Island, Frank, as you travel inbound on the LIE, bumper to bumper into the Van Wyck. An accident now on the ramp to the Van Wyck Expressway. 3 cars and a van involved in this, so it might actually be there for a little while. So as you come inbound, you've got that. And then you're also further on out in Nassau County, right at Little Neck Parkway, there is an accident. 2 lanes are out of service inbound on the LIE. Now, a new problem, and this could be an issue at the George Washington Bridge. It's starting to back up already eastbound on the Cross Bronx at the Major Deegan. There is a stall off on the right shoulder, but you're backed up onto the span of the bridge. Mass transit so far so good. An alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Napa Auto Parts. Whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders of over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, we have weather with Lloyd Lindsay Young coming up in just a minute and a ton of other local headlines we're keeping an eye on. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno.
This is the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. A ton of news coming your way in just a minute. But this week we have the pleasure of getting weather forecasts from one of New York's most iconic weathermen, the one and only Lloyd Lindsay Young. Lloyd, what's happening weather-wise?
Hello, Staten Island. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather. Happy to tell you, it is going to be perfecto for this time of the year. Here we are approaching the latter part of June, and temperatures will struggle to make 80 degrees, and that relative humidity or humidity is going to be low. So maximum temperature, Central Park, about 80 today. Maybe you're heading to the shore. That shore is a good idea this time of the year. You might take a sweater for the nights, mid-70s during the day, down around 60 at night. As we get into the weekend, it's going to be a bit humid in the tri-state area with temperatures going up. between 87 and 90 degrees. But that's Saturday and Sunday. Beautiful weather ahead. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. We'll hear more weather from Lloyd Lindsay-Young next hour, along with sports from Sid Rosenberg and a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show. One story I wanted to bring to your attention is about a penguin. A penguin at the St. Louis Zoo is going viral for his stylish new shoes and what they're used for. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporting that Enrique has developed arthritis at his old age of 30. Previous medicine for calluses that developed on the bottom of his feet had to be reapplied. Every item Antique took a swim. The black strap-on shoes with red grips have allowed Enrique to get around quicker without the need for much more medicine. After a zoo visitor asked about the shoes, he posted about it on Facebook, and it drew thousands of likes. Vinny Ignizio, former New York City Council minority leader, in the studio as well. How about that? That's nice.
I think we ought to get them for Joe Borelli. He has his plantar fasciitis. It's been hurting him for some time, and that's exactly what he needs.
Joe Borelli coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show. That's a show you're going to want to be listening to starting at 6:30. Disney World is planning to celebrate its 50th anniversary. The Florida theme park will kick off the party on October 1st, with Disney Enchantment, a nighttime celebration that features live music, light shows, fireworks, and its immersive projection that stretches from Cinderella's Castle down Main Street, USA. Epcot will highlight a showcase of classic Disney songs with its harmonious show. Animal Kingdom will feature a title show with some kites up to 30 feet long. The celebration will last for 18 months and reach a climax with the opening of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure at Epcot. Yeah. You're excited about that?
I just got back a little while ago from Disney, and we were disappointed that Ratatouille wasn't open, but it's going to be a great ride. It's already open in California, and people are going to love it. That's the place to go.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting if you end up going there, and under the current restrictions, send us an email. Let us know how it works for you. And a British man is breaking a world record with only a handful of M&Ms. Birmingham Live reporting that 23-year-old Will Cutbill of England was able to stack 5 M&M candies, breaking a record. He said it took him 2 to 3 hours of filming before he could finally break the previous attempt of 4. Cutbill added that it was not something he would normally have taken the time to try, but when he made the attempt during the third British COVID lockdown in January, quote, there wasn't much to do.
We could do it, Frank. We could go for 6.
I like it. We'll try it. A 37-year-old anaconda has officially been named the oldest living snake in captivity by Guinness Book of World Records. Annie the anaconda's owner took care of her from 1989 through 2014 when he decided to donate her to the Monte Cassino Bird and Reptile Park in South Africa. He reached out to Guinness in order to award her the title, sending loads of evidence in the charge of photographs and a nice thing for everybody else involved. They originally did not have a category for oldest snake in captivity, but decided to make one special for Annie. Annie the anaconda now making her way to the world record books. Congratulations to Annie. And a New Jersey dog, speaking of animals, a New Jersey dog missing for over 2 weeks is home safe after he was found swimming along the Jersey shore. Chunk, the 3-year-old golden retriever, was playing fetch with his owners on June 6th when he apparently got spooked and ran into the woods. Two joggers who recognized Chunk tried to grab him, but he jumped into the water, swimming nearly 2 miles across the city before he was reached and reunited with his grandparents. And social media, local police, and bound hunters were all involved to some extent or another in the attempt to get Jesse back, including the two guys that are on our station in the morning, Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Was he drinking grain punch and fist pumping when they found him, you know? Or?
I have my doubts. Again, just based on this little description here, he doesn't sound like a fist bump kind of a guy. Okay. Who knows? Jersey's Jersey. Yeah. President Biden is taking new action to fight soaring gun crime and violence. He's set to unveil a sweeping series of programs today. He'll be speaking from the White House after meeting with the Attorney General and the President, the former President. The city alone has seen more than 300 people killed just this year, but the surge in crime has been going on for 18 months. The President is expected to focus on community policing. What do you do to turn around a city like that, whether it's New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., a city plagued with gun violence?
Frank, the model is there. It's the Rudy Giuliani model. It's the broken windows theory all over again. It's the fact of you cannot just continue to tell people that you can't have legalized guns. It's not the criminals by definition don't care what laws you pass against guns. They're going to have them anyway. You have to get into these communities and take the guns from the illegal, for those who are carrying them illegally.
No doubt about it. Somebody who is probably doing something to help transport illegal immigrants right now is Joe Nolan, who's got all the latest traffic and transit on the sevens. Hey there, Joe.
Oh, boy. All right. Long Island Express, a little like Parkway, there's a stall. That's being cleared now. If you're traveling further in, though, bumper to bumper at the Van Wyck. And again, this is because getting onto that roadway, there is an accident. Three cars in a van, the right lane going to be out on the main line of the expressway. So you've got a couple of big problems here on the Long Island Expressway. Now, eastbound on the cross Bronx to the Deegan, a disabled. That one's all off on the right shoulder. You want to avoid that if you can. And then on the westbound side of Route 80, coming up to the Jersey Turnpike, we continue to have those big delays now because of an overturned vehicle in the express lanes and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. Mass Transit, by the way, they're right on or close to schedule. And this report is service of Rocket Mortgage. Ready to buy a new home but don't know where to start? Rocket can. Check out the Rocket Mortgage Home Buyer's Guide for articles, tips, and tools. When you need your mortgage to fit your family and your budget, Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
5:58, we're going to have a whole lot more news coming your way for the next half hour, including more traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s, more weather with Lloyd Lindsay Young, more headlines with Deb Valentine, more sports with Sid Rosenberg, and we'll even get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. It does look like the COVID lockdown did not lead to a baby boom. The CDC says fewer babies were born last year, down 4%. That's the largest drop since 1973. Births were already falling, but the report points to the pandemic as creating the perfect storm for even lower growth rates among states. The states with the largest declines were New Mexico, New York, California, Hawaii, and California. You can bet that was something that took a lot of us who were fans of the Texas tornado by storm and surprised us quite a bit. All right, coming up in just a bit, I'll tell you about this new surcharge that Frontier Airlines is adding. I'll also tell you about the Colonial Pipeline. It's been hit with another lawsuit. I will tell you why. We'll also have sports with Sid Rosenberg, weather with Lloyd Lindsay Young. But before we get there, Deb Valentine is in the WABC newsroom, and she has 77 seconds of news coming your way. Here is all the latest news that's fit to listen to, courtesy of the inimitable, the one and the only Deb Valentine.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News. Good morning. It's Wednesday morning. We're still analyzing yesterday's primary election, the Democratic race for mayor sees Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough president, with a hefty lead over his nearest competitive, Maya Wiley. Now, we can't read too much into this because this is a race that has ranked choice voting. And what will now happen is the candidates with the least numbers of votes will see those votes transferred to the voters' second choice. Somebody that was not at all pleased with that philosophy yesterday was Eric Adams, who told everybody who interacted with him that he wasn't pleased about what was happening.
The little guy won today.
Yeah!
And so now we stand here in the most important city,
yes.
In the most important country,
yes.
On the globe.
Yes.
What a moment, New York.
Come on.
What a moment. New York City said, our first choice is Eric Adams.
We'll see where it goes from here, but as of now, he has a pretty significant lead, and it's one that I'm not sure Maya Wiley is going to be able to overcome. Joining me in studio this morning is the former minority leader of the New York City Council, a Republican, Vinny Ignizio. Vinny, from what you're seeing in terms of these numbers, is this lead insurmountable, or can Maya Wiley, or maybe even Catherine Garcia, who's polling third right now, can they actually mount a comeback to get that nomination?
Well, it looks like a pretty strong...
Yeah, I think that's a function of Sid's headphone volume. I wouldn't worry about it.
Right. It looks like a pretty strong lead, and I genuinely believe that Eric is looking really good to become the next Democratic nominee for mayor from the Democratic line. That being said, now the game starts, right? Now you're going to see what ranked choice voting really means. On the Republican side of the aisle, I mean, it was a clear win by Curtis Sliwa, handily beating Mateo. So it goes to a two-person race.
Do you think Eric Adams, as we've been hearing, is one of the more moderate candidates running for mayor, or is he a bit more to the left? I mean, how would you categorize him ideologically?
Well, certainly he seemed like a more centrist candidate for the Democratic side of the aisle. He spoke about law and order and his history being in the police department and the need to ensure that all communities across the city want to feel safe and want to have a safer community from which to grow on. So I think that he's articulated that message well. And, of course, his experience with the police department gives him that credibility. He's going to be a formidable candidate in November.
Colonial Pipeline facing a class action lawsuit in the wake of last month's ransomware attack. A gas station in North Carolina is the latest to sue, claiming the company didn't have a plan in place. The attack shut down a major pipeline stretching from Texas to New York for 5 days. That led to gas shortages and long lines due to panic buying. The lawsuit claims gas stations lost more than $5 million. Wow. Well, it's somebody that has never caused a commuter to lose any sort of gas money because he tells you the most efficient way of getting around each and every morning is the one and only Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. Hey there, Joe.
All right, Frank. Couple of big problems out there now. First of all, this is a new one. Westbound on Route 80 in the express lanes right at the top of the ramp. From the New Jersey Turnpike, there is an overturned tractor trailer. Now, as a result of this, it is really causing delays now, beginning to come northbound on the Turnpike to get to the westbound side of Route 80. That ramp is shut down, so you want to avoid that if you can. Really not much you can do if you're already on the Turnpike. I guess you can go east to make a U-turn and come back, but still, westbound Route 80, the ramp from the Turnpike is shut down. Crosswalks eastbound of the Deegan, a disabled vehicle. That's starting to back up onto the George Washington Bridge. Hudson River Crossing is still in good shape at this point. Westbound LIE at the Van Wyck, an accident on the ramp to the Van Wyck Expressway. 3 cars and a van involved in that. The right lane going to be on a mass transit. Everybody there on or close to schedule. An alternate side is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Summer is officially here. We got some rain yesterday. What's the weather like today? Well, we're fortunate enough this week to be joined by one of New York's finest weatherman, the one and only Lloyd Lindsey Young. Lloyd, how does the weather look today?
Hello, Paramus, New Jersey, and all of the tri-state area. Hey, how about Westchester County? It'll be lovely today, as all of the area will be. Maximum temperatures in the upper 70s to near 80. That's some 7-8 degrees below normal for this time of the year, thanks to that cold front that went through on Monday and an upper level low over the area. So below normal most of the week. Air conditioning use minimal. However, there is a fly in the ointment. A little bit sticky and getting a little bit toasty or humid as we work our way into the weekend. High pressure comes back Saturday and Sunday, and temperatures bubble up to 85 to 90. But hey, the next 2-3 days, we'll have it made in the shade. This is Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather.
All right. Well, scientists say that hundreds of birds are dying in the South and Midwest, and experts simply don't know why. The birds are coming down with something causing them to have puffy eyes and seizures. Experts say they're also behaving as if they're blind by not flying away when people get close. Biologists are looking at a possible infectious disease, pesticides, or maybe even the cicada outbreak. The most commonly affected birds are blue jays, grackles, and starlings. Well, it's a big day for pop star Britney Spears. She'll be addressing a Los Angeles court directly in the battle over her conservatorship. It'll be her first public testimony after requesting the hearing back in April. The singer is expected to reveal how she feels about her dad controlling her life. He was assigned as her conservator in 2008, but she's reportedly been trying to remove him for several years, even going so far as to take to the airwaves. Fans have even started a Free Britney campaign in support. So we'll see where that goes. Philadelphia manager Joe Girardi asks for umpires to check Washington starting pitcher Max Scherzer for foreign substances in the fourth inning of the Phillies-Nationals game last night and was later ejected. Nothing was found by the officials, despite the overt display put on by the Nationals right-hander. Shortly after, Scherzer struck out JT Realmuto to end the fifth inning and then stared down Girardi as he was walking off the mound. Girardi then walked out of the dugout, and Scherzer held up his glove and hat to taunt him. Girardi got ejected right after he left the dugout. So Joe Girardi, not somebody that suffers what he considers to be fools too easy. All right, former President Donald Trump says he never asked the Department of Justice to investigate Saturday Night Live for making fun of him. His statement yesterday came after the Daily Beast reported he became so incensed at Alec Baldwin's impression of him, he asked the DOJ or the FEC to look into possible violations of rules about giving equal time to different political sides. Trump said the story was made up, but thanks to the 100%, this is a quote, thanks to the 100% one-sided shows, close quote, he should be considered an illegal campaign contribution from the Democratic Party. Trump previously tweeted in 2019 a call for federal agencies to investigate SNL. He also added that the only one who did do a decent impersonation of him was Daryl Hammond. Well, I'm a Daryl Hammond fan. Did a very good Bill Clinton, a fine Al Gore, and has done a lot of great impersonations.
His Al Sharpton is brilliant too.
I'm honestly, I can't think of an impersonation he does that is either imperfect or unfunny.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he did a lot of cocaine. A lot.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact. More than me.
Wow.
I know.
And still standing.
Well, so am I.
Hey, I am equally impressed.
So is Vin.
We're going to get to sports with Sid Rosenberg in 2 minutes. Hong Kong's largest pro-democracy newspaper is shutting down. The 26-year-old tabloid Apple Daily says it will print its last edition on Thursday. Last year, China implemented a national security law in Hong Kong, which punishes anyone accused of colluding with foreign forces with up to life in prison. Since the law took effect, the founder of the Apple Daily has been charged with endangering national security, and the paper's newsroom has been raided by police and had its computers hacked. Last week, 5 of the paper's top editors were arrested, and authorities froze millions of dollars in the paper's bank accounts. The Apple Daily employs about 600 journalists. Fortunately for them and for us, one of them is not Sid Rosenberg, who has all the latest sports news that is fit to listen to. What's happening in the world of sports?
Well, good morning, Frank. I heard your whole Philadelphia, Philly, Washington National story with Joe Girardi and Max Scherzer. That was very good. And there's actually a pitcher in the National League last night, Sergio Romo, who pulled his pants down when the umpire wanted him what was on
what?
His belt. He pulled his pants down below his buttocks. Look that up. Sergio Romo. These pitchers are getting sick and tired of Major League Baseball all over them. One pitcher that was all over the Mets last night was another Atlanta Brave starter. The Mets have now been shut out in consecutive efforts dating back to the second game of the Twin Bill on Monday night. Two consecutive shutouts for the Braves. Last night, 3-0 the final score. Here's Mets skipper Luis Rojas impressed with the opposite side's pitching.
But we ran into really two good pitchers that had their stuff going well once again. I think we had the same thing last week. We ran into it again this week.
Good news is, even with the loss, the Mets are 6 games over .500, still on first, in first, I should say, atop the NL East. 4 better than the Phillies and 4 better than the Braves. It'll be the Mets and Braves from Queens again later on tonight. The Yankees got back last night. Gerrit Cole gave them 7 strong innings, but the Yanks gave up 4 runs in the 8th and lost 6-5 to Kansas City. This despite hitting 3 home runs last night. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on his ace Cole's performance.
I thought Cole was good, man. Finished really strong, too. I thought he pitched the way he wanted to there, especially in that last inning where he walked a couple guys. I think he just wasn't going to get beat with certain pitches in that spot. You know, 7 really strong innings for us.
Yankees are 4 games over .500 after 72 efforts. They're 5.5 behind Joe Abud's division-leading Boston Red Sox. Game 6 tonight at the Barn, Nassau Coliseum, Long Island, as the Islanders look to stave off elimination against the reigning Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Lightning blew out the Islanders 8-0 in Tampa in Game 5. Again, Game 6 tonight. Islanders hoping to force a Game 7 Friday in Tampa Bay. Western Conference NBA Finals last night. The Suns got by the Clippers 104-103. That series is now 2-0 Phoenix. The Eastern Conference gets going tonight in Milwaukee, where the Bucks, who just beat the Nets, will host the Atlanta Hawks. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at 15:45, I'm Sid.
Well, at 6:16, it is always interesting to talk sports with Sid. Also interesting to talk grilling. And it's always interesting to talk anything with Joe Nolan. Joe, are you a barbecue guy, a grilling guy?
I love to. I love to cook. I love to cook outside. Yeah, absolutely.
And what's your specialty, would you say?
I make a pretty good steak.
Oh.
Put a lot of pepper and some salt on it and some garlic powder and sometimes a little bit of cayenne pepper, too, just to put a little oomph into it.
Do you do a pre-grill marinade?
No, I don't marinate. You know, beef is beef. Steak is steak. You shouldn't have to marinate it.
All right. Well, fair
enough.
That's
my view. I mean, a lot of people do it. I know probably I'm in the minority, but that's from my dad. My dad used to eat the steak, don't put anything on it. You know, I mean,
well,
that's the way he was.
Definitely do eat the steak, because I don't want to get blamed for anything that's going on here in terms of your diet. So so be it.
Real quick, a funny story. My father's brother, would come over to eat dinner, and my father would make him cook his steak well done because my father wouldn't do it.
You want to ruin the meat? Go ahead. I'm not going to do it.
Well, what's happening traffic-wise, Joe?
Inbound LIE, bumper-to-bumper into the Van Wyck accident on the ramp to the Van Wyck Expressway. 3 cars in a van. The right lane going to be out of service as you get through there. Now, as you travel on the Long Island Expressway at Little Neck Parkway, there was a stall there. Looks like that now is out of the way. Cross Bronx eastbound delays now coming off of the George Washington Bridge over to the Major Diggin with a disabled on the right shoulder. Jersey Turnpike northbound. The ramp from I-95 to the westbound side of Route 80, alternately opening and closing the whole thing. There's an overturned tractor trailer, one of those big giant over the road jobs that was heading from northbound 95 to the westbound side of Route 80, flipped over, and it is going to be there for a while. So just be aware of that if you're heading northbound on the turnpike trying to get on the westbound side of Route 80 and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. The support of service of Indeed.com. Not to be a backseat driver, but if you need to hire great people fast, you need Indeed. Sponsor a job and you'll immediately get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. 618, all eyes on Wall Street. A big day yesterday. NASDAQ up 111. The Dow Jones up 68. And the S&P 500 jumping 21 points. Now, we've been following the story of Frontier Airlines. They're adding a COVID recovery surcharge to the final bill for passengers. The airline says on its website, the fees intended to offset increased sanitation and cleaning costs, shields at the ticket counters and gate areas and PPE for employees. ABC News reporting the $1.59 charge is applied to bookings on a per passenger per segment basis. It comes after many major airlines, including Frontier, received billions of dollars in pandemic relief, and other carriers have dropped, adding the costs to try and lure passengers back to the skies. And Microsoft is joining one of the most elite and exclusive clubs the U.S. stock market has to offer. The value of the Washington-based company crossed the $2 trillion, yes, trillion with a T, dollar mark during Tuesday's trading session. It joins fellow tech company Apple as one of the few to hit that milestone. All right, coming up in just 10 minutes, you're going to get to hear the Bernie and Sid show. We have one half of that show with us in studio this morning. What's in tap this morning, Sid?
Well, I mean, obviously, the mayor race, Curtis Sliwa, was a dear friend of both of ours for a very, very long time. We're very excited he got the win. Not just the win, but he just absolutely took Fernando Mateo to the woodshed. 71% of the vote. I walked around the corner, Empire Steakhouse, at about 5 o'clock this morning. Took a nice picture, Rosenberg.Sidney on the Instagram account. All the Curtis Sliwa for mayor signs are still up outside the restaurant. Big party there last night. John Catsimatidis, Margot, Rudy Giuliani, everybody. So we will celebrate with Curtis today. And I've been asked a bunch of times already this morning, and you two would know better than me because I'm still kind of caught in the Eli Manning world. Now that Curtis Sliwa has moved on and he'll take on, in all likelihood, Eric Adams, I don't see him losing that race either. Does he really have a chance to beat him? And my initial answer is always, no, of course not. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
Well, look, I think the conventional wisdom is that, no, he doesn't have a chance. But I don't know that any Republican that's ever gotten elected mayor has ever had a chance. You sort of need to catch lightning in a bottle as a Republican running for citywide office. You need a perfect storm. But for Crown Heights, does Rudy Giuliani get elected in 93? I don't know. But for 9/11, does Mike Bloomberg get elected in 2001? I'm not sure. So you've got to kind of position yourself so that if something happens within the next 5 months that leads people to vote Republican, you're in a position to benefit from it.
What do you mean next 5 months? We have gone through a year plus of hell in this city. I know Eric Adams claims to be a guy that's pro-police, but he also talks about putting civilians out on the street and social workers and all that nonsense. If you're really worried about crime in this city, Curtis is the guy. He's the guy. He's head and shoulders ahead of Eric Adams. So something's already happened in this city over the last year that would give you that type of effect.
I think you might be right about that. So we'll see where that goes. So you having Curtis on this morning?
No, I don't know yet. We're going to have Joe Borelli on.
Oh, boy.
And that's your guy, right?
Vinny Ignacio's former chief of staff, his former intern.
Yes. Look, Joe's a great guy. And the thing about Curtis, if I may add to that little comment there, is that every community, he could walk into every community in this city and say, you know me, you know what I'm about, and empower me to take this city back.
It's true. You know, Eric Adams, you assume, of course, is going to grab the black vote. But I must tell you that the one night I did the train ride with the Guardian Angels a couple of years ago, and we went down to the worst sections of Brooklyn, I came on the air the next morning with Bernie, and I said the thing that really, really surprised me was the amount of people that went over to hug and kiss Curtis Sliwa in the train stations, and they were all black, thanking him for serving their community and helping out. So we'll see. You're right. People know him in every section, every borough, all over the city. Maybe he's got a shot. So Borelli will join us at 7:40, and then the great Congressman Peter King will join us at 8:40, and then Jacob DeGrom at 9:05.
Any good Borelli stories we can give Sid to ask him about?
Oh, that, I got tons of them. No,
well, how about one that can be repeated on air?
Right.
Oh, repeated on air.
Yeah, the one at the Victory Motor Inn with the hookers and the handcuffs. No good.
No, bro. Look, Joe's doing a great job. He's articulating the message. He's going to be minority leader, and he's a great guy. God bless him.
You know, a couple of years ago, I really thought Eric Ulrich. I became friendly with Eric, and now I hear all these horror stories about Eric. I really do, and the Eric Adams thing is not great either. But I thought he was a guy that could really gain some popularity, maybe even be mayor one day. Is Borelli the type of guy that one day could demand a bigger position than just what he's doing in Staten Island?
Absolutely. But I think Joe Borelli should be the first mayor of the city of Staten Island.
Island. That's my goal.
Well, he's very into that secession issue.
Secession, get us our own city and let us run our own.
By the way, we have been following, not only on the Bernie and Sid show, but the whole station, the Staten Island Borough President's race. Vito Fisella, regular guest on the Cats Roundtable and the Cats at Night show. Letitia Romero, she was on with me yesterday, and then she's regular on the Bernie and Sid show. Certainly your successor, Steve Matteo, the minority leader of the city council. What's happening in that
We had some great candidates running. I mean, look, we had, Letitia worked really hard, and she's been a friend. Vito and I have been friends for over 25 years, and Steve Matteo was a colleague of mine. I obviously endorsed Steve Matteo early on because he was running, and Vito decided later. They're in a neck-and-neck race now. The ranked choice voting will reign supreme in the Staten Island Borough presidency race, and let's see where it goes. Nobody knows how that race is going to
end. But Vito's leading at this point.
About a couple of hundred votes, I think.
You got to think that getting endorsements this week, Vito, from both President Trump and Rudy Giuliani may be the thing that puts him over the top.
Those were big endorsements. They were huge. I mean, Vito knows how to run. I mean, Vito knows Staten Island extremely well. That being said, those endorsements came very late in the process.
They did.
When people already voted, what's the impact of that?
It is interesting. When you think of the kind of races that a former president gets involved in, you think of maybe a governor's race, a U.S. Senate race, maybe even a congressional race, you rarely think of a Staten Island borough president primary as the kind of race that a former president gets
Trump
involved in.
Trump doesn't care. He'll call Aaron Boone, who's the third guy out of the bullpen for the Yankees tonight in Kansas. You know, when you look at that race, it's clear why Letitia lost. When Fisella gets endorsements from Giuliani and Trump, and Letitia's big endorsement is from Sid Rosenberg, she ain't going to win. But I love her, and it was a good race.
Me too.
So we'll do all that good stuff today. Obviously, Alvin Bragg having the big day from Manhattan DA. Very surprised that Corey Johnson has taken such a beating from Brad Lander.
That's the shocker.
Right? Shocker.
Standout shocker of so far the season has been that race.
I think so, too. So we'll discuss all of that today, plus sports and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, what's happening sports-wise?
You got the Islanders trying to stave off elimination, coming off an 8-0 loss. So that's a big one. And the Yankees have the Royals, and the Mets have the Braves. And if anybody cares, the Bucks and Hawks game one Eastern Conference finals.
Very quickly, we've been talking about this crackdown in Major League Baseball on these sticky substances on the part of pitchers. What brought that about? Is that because the pitchers were so dominant this year?
Yes. People were sick and tired of 1-0 ball games. The best hitter on the team hitting .275. Even though the home run numbers are still pretty good, right? We've seen some big guys aren't hitting. And folks are like, what is going on? I'm bored. I like it better when they're hitting .340 with 40 home runs at the All-Star break. I don't, but they do. So the lack of offense is what brought all this about.
All right. The Bernie and Sid show coming up in just 3 minutes. This has been a lot of fun. I am going to put some toothpicks in my eyes for the drive home in the hopes of staying awake. I'll be back at 1 a.m. Tomorrow morning, and we are going to have an action-packed edition of The Other Side of Midnight. Hopefully, we'll get some more clarity on some of these races. And you can bet you're in store for a full day of post-election analysis here on WABC. The Bernie and Sid Show is next. But first, here's traffic and transit with the one and only Joe Nolan. Have a great day.